We began last session, and at this time I'd like to invite Dr. Linda Baer and Dean Marilyn Leone to come forward.
And Senator Lynch, there were just two sections that we discussed that are higher ed related specifically. What sections
yes,
were those?
Yes, Madam Chair. Our discussion in the division today will focus on Section 6 and Section 7 of the bill. And members, just by way of background, last session we passed a provision that pulled together a work group that was working during the interim on determining how this newly created mid-level practitioner is going to be implemented in Minnesota. And the work group was comprised of various stakeholder groups. We further dictated in statutory language what the membership of that work group would be. The majority of the work group members were dentists. And the bill that you see before you today has been amended in committee along the way, but I think it's a fair statement to suggest that it largely reflects the work of that work group. And so with no further ado, Madam Chair, I would like to at this time turn this over to Dr. Linda Baer for some beginning comments.
Dr. Baer, welcome back.
Thank you, Chair Pappas. I'm Linda Baer, the Senior Vice Chancellor for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. I'm happy to be here. Minnesota State Colleges and Universities fully supports the Senate File 1106 creating an oral health practitioner. We're committed to its success. As we heard at the hearing in Senator Marty's committee last week, this initiative has generated considerable national attention from, for example, the Pew Charitable Trust, the Kellogg Foundation, and the annual meeting of the Institute of Medicine. The program proposal and budget have satisfied rigorous review and approval requirements at the system and at the university. The program is modeled on the best features of over 50 well-established and successful programs around the world. These programs prepare practitioners successfully, whether they are located within dental schools, taught in standalone dental therapist schools, or located within the university settings. We have improved, in fact, on the models that we saw by making this program a Master's of Science program. Minnesota's Oral Health Practitioner Training Program will be the most advanced program of its kind in the world. We have drawn together a program advisory committee of experienced dental and healthcare educators who have translated the professional competencies developed by national dental professionals over several years into an outstanding Master's of Science curriculum. Metropolitan State University already offers the MS nursing program and participates in the system's collaborative doctorate of nursing practice program. Metropolitan State University is fully accredited by a regional accreditor, the Higher Learning Commission of the North Central Association. As you know, new programs are never accredited when they begin operations. Accreditation review takes place after the program is operated long enough to produce the graduates. The report of the Legislative Working Group provides for the Minnesota Board of Dentistry to oversee the program, not to accredit it, until a national accrediting body takes over. And at this point, I would like to turn it over to President Hammersmith from Metropolitan State University.
Welcome, President Hammersmith. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I am Sue Hammersmith, President of Metropolitan State University. Metropolitan State is proud to offer this innovative program to improve the health care access in Minnesota. We are fully committed to supporting this program financially. We do not expect any new state funding to support this program, just as we did not come to you for support to open our simulation center for patient safety. This innovative training facility, operated in partnership with Health Partners, was the first of its kind in Minnesota, and our oral health practitioner students will train in it to deal with emergency situations. We would be pleased, by the way, to show the simulation center to this committee at some time in the future if you would be interested. Metropolitan State's oral health practitioner program is financially sound for several reasons. First, like all of our programs, it rests on the generous operating subsidy that the legislature provides through the biennial budget allocation to MNSCU. This program can and will go ahead regardless of any reductions to MNSCU's appropriation in the coming biennium. Second, we've been committed over four decades to a model of cost control and efficiency that allows us to offer high-quality programs at lower costs than any other university in Minnesota. Third, we use a unique community faculty staffing model, which is recognized in the system's statewide faculty contract. This model allows us to employ practicing professionals on a part-time basis to contribute their special expertise economically to complement our full-time faculty. Fourth, the graduate-level tuition and fees which we will collect as a result of this program will provide a stream of revenue to support the program. Fifth, because of our long-standing practice of partnering with other institutions, we gain access to high-quality facilities and clinical training sites without requiring new capital investments or resulting in new capital investment requests. In this difficult economic climate, we are pleased to propose a model that will improve dental health care access where the shortages are most acute without requiring additional state resources. We believe that this is exactly the kind of innovation for the public good that is expected of a state-supported university. And I will now turn the podium over to Dean Marilyn Lowen.
Thank you, President Hammersmith. Madam Chair and members, I am Marilyn Lowen, Dean of Nursing and Health Sciences at Metropolitan State University. Our first cohort of students in this oral health practitioner program will begin this fall at Metropolitan State University. We expect 8 to 10 students in the first cohort. The intensive instruction required for this kind of program makes a small cohort appropriate, and our maximum capacity as the program grows will be 15 new students annually. All of the program's faculty will be university faculty and will have the credentials requisite of that position. The recruitment of faculty is proceeding at the usual pace for the opening of a new program. In addition to university faculty teaching components on public health, patient management, epidemiology, and cultural competence, we will have experienced dental educators with special emphasis on general, pediatric, geriatric, and special needs dentistry. 6 of our dental faculty have teaching experience at the University of Minnesota School of Dentistry. Our program will teach and train practitioners to the highest standard of skill on a focused cluster of procedures for a very limited scope of practice. Research over decades has shown that similar programs have taught practitioners to perform these procedures at a level of quality at least equal to that demonstrated by dentists. In closing, one of the services that the MNSCU system provides to the state of Minnesota is providing rigorous program overview and quality assurance for all the member institutions. In 2006, the program design, financing, and facilities plans for this master's degree were reviewed in detail by the Academic Programs Division staff at MNSCU and at Metropolitan State University, and we have planned on that basis for the past 2 years. We are very confident in this newest MNSCU professional preparation program. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Madam Chair, we're also joined at the table today by President Opatz from Normandale Community College, and he's here for support and
welcome. It's good to see you, President Opatz, and once again, we certainly enjoyed your hospitality and your tour earlier this year.
And if I may, Madam Chair, members here, the collaboration between Normandale and Metropolitan State University is the use of the facility that many of you had the opportunity to see, the state-of-the-art dental facilities that we have at Normandale, and our commitment to participate along with our fellow institutions.
Is there a career ladder kind of opportunity here for dental assistants or dental hygienists then to move on?
Yes, exactly, that there would be opportunity for our students in their two-year program to move up into an advanced practice.
Okay.
Madam Chair, we can continue on with the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I'd like to call forward Dr. Tarrant and Dr. Sinnerhaus.
Welcome to the committee, and whoever is going first, please just introduce yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Patricia Tarrant. I'm a pediatric dentist at Hennepin County Medical Center, where I'm both a clinician and educator. We have a general practice residency program at Hennepin County Medical Center, where we educate general dentists in advanced practice, taking care of disadvantaged children, medically compromised adults, and developmentally disabled adults, as well as providing a significant proportion of urgent dental care in oral surgery. So I'm very familiar with the safety net coalition type of treatment, the type of need that is out there. And I should mention that since 1978, I've been a faculty member at the University of Minnesota in pediatric dentistry. For a number of years, I was the director of the undergraduate dental clinic in pediatric dentistry. And I still am on the faculty as I educate pediatric dental residents at Hennepin County Medical Center who come over from the University of Minnesota. My background includes I received my undergraduate dental degree in London in 1974. And following that, I had the opportunity to work with four dental therapists. And based on that experience, when I heard that there was a proposal for oral health practitioner development in the state, I was very interested in joining the advisory committee curriculum development at Metropolitan State, and I've been working with them for the past 2 years, and I'm committed to be one of the faculty members with that program. I met Senator Lynch because I was fortunate enough to be a member of the work group that put forth the proposals in the development of this position. And I am extremely confident and proud of the curriculum that we have developed at Metropolitan State University. I have been working with dental hygienists in their restorative expanded function program from Normandale, using Hennepin County Medical Center as a training site. And the quality of care that they render in placing restorations, the competencies that I have to judge, the calibration that we have as evaluators has been extremely impressive to me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chairman and committee members, I'm Jane Sernahaus. I'm a dentist in private practice. I actually work for a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities. And I went to dental school at Marquette University, did a general practice residency at Hennepin County Medical Center, and have been in private practice for the last 18 years. The area that I work with are primarily nursing home and group home residents, so that's one piece of background I can bring to the program at Normandale in conjunction with Metropolitan State. I also have been on the advisory committee with Dr. Tarrant for the last 2 years. We have met roughly monthly to work on curriculum and program development. The advisory committee are practitioners who come from a very diverse patient background. So that's another thing we would like to bring is that we will plan to be clinical training sites for all of these students. And was discussed earlier with the areas of pediatric dentistry, geriatric dentistry, adults with disabilities, and those type of things. the curriculum as it has been developed has been worked on a competency basis for the practitioners, and we have worked in collaboration with the programs in Saskatchewan and also in Alaska. We've had consultation and actually done a site visit to the program in Saskatchewan. I guess the last thing I'd like to say is that when we are looking at applicants for the program, we are committed to the mission of providing service for those who are underserved at this point, and that is a big piece of the applicants and the people we would like to admit into the program.
Is that still in the legislation, or that's just more the program intent? So is it in the legislation?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Madam Chair and Committee, may I add
one
more comment? Thank you very much. I omitted to mention that I have been recently to England accompanying the University of Minnesota delegation to look at dental therapy schools, and I'd like to add a couple of things to my testimony. One is that in recent years we have in England and New Zealand and Canada combined dental therapy with dental hygiene, as it's been found to be more useful in an off-site setting away from the dentist. And secondly, that there are several programs in the United Kingdom for training dental therapy hygienists that are not within dental schools. In fact, there are two brand new programs within the last 5 or 6 years in the south coast of England and in the north of England that are completely standalone programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Madam Chair.
And then
right
I think
along.
Is Dean Lloyd here?
Yes.
Why don't
I'd
you
like
make
to call
some comments?
Dean Lloyd from the University of Minnesota.
Madam Chair.
Senator Weaver.
As the next testifier approaches, one question that for Senator Lynch or others, I'm wondering about the expectation for placement of jobs. And I talked to a dental hygienist recently, and she said it was very difficult finding a job. And maybe that was, I don't know if it was her situation, but we talked just in general about the importance of the university system in providing, you know, job opportunities to meet needs. At the same time, there might be 200 teachers applying for an elementary spot. And so, you know, just in terms of supply-demand, I understand the access question, mm-hmm. but...
Who's going to hire them?
Right.
Right. Right.
As we have...
President Hammersmith.
I'm sorry. I'm Sue Hammersmith. As we have had the conversations with potential employers and interested segments, it has become apparent in the state of Minnesota, as I understand it, there's actually a surplus of dental hygienists at the current levels at which they're permitted to practice. There is a shortage of people who are able to go into the nursing homes, rural areas, and special facilities such as that in the schools. This will provide a career opportunity for the baccalaureate-prepared dental hygienists, of whom there are many in Minnesota, to move up to another level of practice that is completely open at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I see that Senator Prentner-Solon is in the audience, and I know you've worked very hard on this access issue as well. I appreciate your support. Dean Lloyd.
Good afternoon, Madam
Welcome.
Chairman, members of the committee.
We also enjoyed our visit to your facilities earlier
well,
this year.
Well, you're invited back whenever you have the urge.
Thanks. Hopefully it won't be because of dental problems.
We presented last week our program to Senator Marty's committee, and I'd like to just give a small synopsis of where we are with our initiative.
Okay.
We've developed two curricula for two different programs. One is a full-time Bachelor of Science degree in dental therapy. It would allow someone right out of high school to pursue a career in dental therapy. It would be 40 months in continuous full-time education going with our dental students full-time. So there'd be small breaks during the winter session, small breaks in the summer session. earning a baccalaureate degree. We would also offer a master degree in this, the Academic Health Center, professional degree, 28 months, continuous full-time employment for someone who might be considered an adult learner, someone who's already has a bachelor's degree in some field and has taken some of the basic and related science courses we require as part of our pre-professional education in liberal arts. They would go for 28 months and take the same dental coursework in the classroom, in the pre-clinics, the labs, our clinics and outreach programs, but they would also have some time dedicated to developing leadership and adult education skills so they could go on and be leaders in the field of dental therapy at other dental schools who are looking to model a program after ours. We have designed our program to fully capitalize on our 114 full-time faculty. We've got about 180 part-time faculty. We have, in a boastful way, the most advanced simulation clinic in this continent, and we look to use that facility to train our dental therapists. In addition, we have just 3 years ago received full accreditation by the Commission on Dental Accreditation, which is an independent body that reviews dental hygiene, dentistry, dental technician, and dental assistant programs. They were with us the fall of 2006 for what amounted to be 2.5 days, which felt like several months. And they toured our facility accrediting our programs for teaching all levels of dental education for dentists and dental hygienists. The program that we've designed has a scope of practice modeled after programs that we visited this past summer. So as mentioned earlier, I led a delegation from the state to look at programs first in Canada, the only province in Canada that has a dental therapy program. We went there first because it was closest. We also went there because we wanted to find out why after 30 years it was not recognized in any other province than in Saskatchewan. We were looking to see why it hadn't spread to other provinces, why it hadn't been accepted by the Canadian Commission on Dental Accreditation. We wanted to learn more about why it hadn't become a standard for citizens in Canada. We then went to New Zealand because it had a record of training dental therapists for 80 years. And we went to the place that it first started in New Zealand in a dental school. And we went there to see how the faculty could be joined together in training dental therapists and dental students in the same clinical setting, the same laboratories. We visited with students who were about to roll, students who were enrolling, and then students who had graduated in practice. We wanted to learn about the economic model. Did they get jobs? How are their salaries compared to teachers and automotive mechanics so that it might be an attractive economic advantage? How were dentists introducing dental therapists to patients who otherwise were getting some care provided by dentists? How are the patients receiving these invasive procedures by non-fully trained dentists? We also wanted to get a sense about how dental students and dental therapy students reacted with one another in the classroom and the laboratory and then when they graduated. We then spent a little more than a five-day visit in the UK, visiting two programs there that had been recognized around the world for their collaborative training effort. What we were most surprised there was that the dental therapy students and the dental students were mixed together in classes. They weren't even allowed to acknowledge who was whom, so that there was one standard. Asked the faculty member, who is the dental therapy student, who's the dental student? It didn't matter. They both had to do things at the same level so that the public would expect a similar level of performance. We used that information and then our subsequent consultants that we brought in to develop a curriculum. We had six on our curriculum committee. We had seven different subcommittees looking at procedures and training that would match nicely with our existing programs in dentistry and dental hygiene. And we established a scope of practice that would allow our providers, as described in the dental therapy bill, to place fillings using silver fillings, tooth-colored fillings, what we call glass ionomer fillings, to restore cavities in adults and children. We also defined a scope of practice to include removing primary or baby teeth. In both procedures that we consider to be rather invasive, given that dentists are only the individuals licensed today to provide those services, that they'd be provided under indirect supervision. The dentist would be there to assist in diagnosing and developing plans of treatment and to attend when unanticipated consequences arose, drilling through a tooth or breaking off a piece of the jawbone or some uncontrollable bleeding or a fractured root. The dentist would be on site, as we saw in the places that we visited. In addition, we were looking to create a program that was mirrored after the physician's assistant model, where the provider, in this case the physician, oversees the physician's assistant in providing care and assistance. our program, we believe, based on our travels and our readings and the expertise of our faculty, I might add we have 37 different schools represented in our 120 faculty. So, yes, it's a Minnesota dental school, but it's more worldly in dimension and intellect because we've recruited faculty from all over the world. Have created a program that the profession has embraced vis-a-vis the Minnesota Dental Association, the Board of Dentistry, the Minnesota Dental Assistants Association, and the public can trust and feel confident. One standard of care, one level of competency, one accredited institution. Thank you.
Thank you. And would you like to comment?
I'm Barbara Brandt, Assistant Vice President for Education in the Academic Health Center. I work with the six health profession schools, medicine, nursing, dentistry, and the like. And we do have 194 accreditations in the Academic Health Center. And I'm here to answer any questions you might have about oversight, both at the university level, what processes we used to take this program, these programs up through the Board of Regents, and specifically about experiences with accreditation and what we anticipate as far as accreditation. The only other comment I would have is I don't think you've had the opportunity to meet the Associate Dean, Judith Buchanan. She's been the Associate Dean at two other dental schools, the University of Pennsylvania, University of Illinois, and she is responsible for helping the dean and the faculty think through this curriculum. And she has tremendous amount of experience. She herself has been the consultant to 26 other dental schools and getting them ready for their accreditation. So we feel very proud not only of our dental facilities that we have to train this new practitioner with the other two health our dental professions, but that we have probably one of the best educational experts in the world for having thought through this curriculum and bringing it up in the university. So if you have any other questions about oversight and accreditation, I'd be more than happy to answer that.
Thank you. Well, since we are a finance division, Dean Lloyd, do you want to talk a little bit about money? I know Minsky mentioned that they were prepared to promote, to support the oral health practitioner program with available resources. What's your situation?
Well, I've had several discussions within the last week with senior University of Minnesota leadership, and we believe we can access sufficient resources to finance our program without additional state money. Sources would include combinations of federal stimulus dollars coming to the U, reallocation of money within the Academic Health Center in the university proper, and the potential for raising philanthropic support and grant support for our initiatives. I might add, after our testimony last Wednesday, a number of individuals came forward to express their sincere support for financial assistance in making this a reality at the university. So we will not be requesting legislative support to initiate our class, and we are already interviewing candidates for starting in September of 2009.
You know, I have to say after, you know, obviously the Safety Net Coalition brought this issue to us because there are a lot of people in our state that are underserved or unserved for dental care. And I actually find it very exciting to have two programs that are going to be competing for the best students to serve the dental needs of the children and the elderly and low-income people in the state of Minnesota. And, you know, I fully intend to support both programs, although I can't financially. And so the plan here is because this is not going to impact our budget, but it will have to go to the Health and Human Services Finance Division because of the licensing structure. So that will be the plan is for us to just send it there. Are there any comments from members of the committee or questions? Senator Roebling.
I'd like to ask Dean Lloyd, as you set up your program, how do you anticipate tuition structure? Because I imagine it might be more expensive than a typical degree, less expensive than a full dental program. What is your expectation?
Dean Lloyd.
Yes, Madam Chairman and Representative. I have worked closely with the university undergraduate program, and we're obligated for baccalaureate degrees to offer consistent tuition. Mm-hmm. So it's approximately $10,000 per year for the program. And the master's program, so that there's not any financial competitiveness with the two programs, would be equivalent, which is substantially less than the dental program.
And Vice Chancellor Baer, will there be additional tuition or fees to the students in the oral health practitioner program?
Chair Pappas, at this point, the Metropolitan State University intends that it would be tuition-based with additional fees.
So it's a master's,
correct?
Whatever your master's program is, but there'll be additional fees.
Oh, and
President Hammersmith.
Excuse me. Madam Chair, our plan is to charge the same tuition as we charge for the master's degree in nursing.
Okay. Which is how much?
About $350 a credit.
Okay. Senator Roebling.
Thank you. Could you just remind me how many students each of your programs will plan on taking?
President Hammersmith?
Ours will initially, the first year, we're planning to accept 8 students. After that, 10 students in the second year. And the maximum we would be up to would be accepting 15 students a year.
Okay. And Dean Lloyd, do you know, or is it Dr. Brandt?
We're intending a class of 10 in the fall, 2009, a combination of master's and baccalaureate students.
Okay.
Our initial year will be 10 combined.
Combined.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, then Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, thank you. And members, I think that we are all really proud to be here today before you. And I cannot tell you how many inquiries I've gotten from across the nation with regard to the work that is being done here in Minnesota on this issue. And I think this is really a good opportunity for our higher ed institutions, certainly, but Minnesota has a real opportunity to lead on this very important health reform issue. At this time, I especially want to acknowledge once again and thank Senator Prettner-Solin for her work in getting us here today, and then my co-authors on the bill, Senator Berglund, Senator Marty, and Senator Lori.
Okay. Senator Senjum.
I have, Madam Chair and Senator Lynch, obviously a lot of this with you and Representative Norton and it emanates out of where we all live. And as I go through this bill real quickly, it may sound like a real basic question, but I'm trying to understand. We've got the oral health practitioner, and we have the dental therapist. Why do we need two programs or two titles? Is it to match up with the academic status of different people, or is one program like better than the other, I'm just really kind of, you know, just basically. And as I go through the bill real quickly, I'm trying to understand. I'm just not getting it.
Madam Chair and Senator Senjum, let me help you.
All right.
There are two models that are encompassed in this bill, and I would suggest to you, as I have suggested all along, that they are not competing models. And we have such a great need in this state and, frankly, in this country. And the two models will address some components of the problem that we have in oral health care. The biggest difference between the two is that the model that is the oral health practitioner is really a mechanism to get at the fact that 80% of the people that walk through, for example, in our community, Senator Senjum, the Good Samaritan Dental Clinic, 80% of the people that walk in there need something more than their teeth cleaned and polished. They need restorative services, and they are unable to get those services today. And so the creation of this oral health practitioner will address that need most directly. On the other hand, another approach, not a competing approach, but another approach is the approach of the what are we calling
dental therapist.
The dental therapist. We've had a lot of different names floating around over the last 2 years, but we're on dental therapist. And that will address yet another need and another part of a business model. And under that plan, those patients will first see their dentist, and then the dentist may choose, it might be a part of that model that they would have their subsequent care from that dental therapist. I hope that helps.
Madam Chair, and just to then clarify, because we have long lists of scopes of practices here, and it's hard to match them up against each other, at least in the bill.
And Senator Senjan, really not our job here.
Right.
So that's really the job of the Health Committee.
Well, let me just finish anyway. Let's see. What was my question? So the difference generally is it looks like the list of practices are generally maybe not identical if you look at them keenly, but just overall generally identical. But the therapist model has a dentist within within close proximity guiding the work, and the practitioner is more of a standalone model. Is that it?
Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair and Senator Senjum, the dental therapy model, you are correct that the dentist would be in close proximity, I think, is fair. That might also be the case with the oral health practitioner,
Okay. Frankly.
Although the oral health practitioner is more uniquely designed to get into those areas that we have some very significant access issues with in nursing homes, in our correction facilities, in our community safety net clinics, in the Good Samaritan Clinic.
Dean Lloyd, you wanted to say something?
Just a couple follow-up points. Our program is not limited to dental hygienists. We felt it needed to be available to people of any background who had an interest in pursuing this new field. In addition, we wanted to create a model that would graduate someone whose educational debt wouldn't be a further burden on the community and expect a salary that would either be at or below what a dental hygienist might be working and earning today, so that wouldn't be added up on top of that. We start with a blank slate, not with a dental hygiene degree, and that's an important difference.
And the oral health practitioner has to be a dental hygienist first?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, just a point of clarification. The bill does not dictate that you need to be a dental hygienist first. Mm. In MNSCU's development of their curriculum, that is a component of that, but it is not dictated by the bill.
Okay. Okay, we're ready for a motion. Oh, sure. Senator Sharon.
I just wanted to point out that another similarity, you know, I'm that occurs between the two programs is that they both have to be of good moral character in order to sit for the licensing.
Is that your point too, Senator Roebling?
Well, we were talking about that, Madam Chair, and we were trying to decide how they were going to determine that, or if it simply meant they're going to run a background check on students before they were admitted to the program, which we have heard is an issue for programs where licensures mm-hmm. are granted, because a lot of students are going into programs and they have something in their background that doesn't permit
that
them.
Means they can't get licensed.
Right.
Right. So we wanted to let them know up front. There's another bill like that. Right.
Right.
Madam Chair, Senators Roebling and Sharon, we've had all these discussions. We had that discussion too, and I am pleased to tell you all that the Minnesota Board of Dentistry, that is an important and, I'm told, very critical component to include that provision in the legislation. But we had those discussions.
I did not mean to make light of it. It is very important in terms of licensing for advanced practice nurses and for all health professionals to be. It is a part of all of our standings in our importance of the confidence and the trust that the community places in us in terms of our delivery of this service.
Okay, I'd like to take action because I still want to hear from the legislative auditor's report before we adjourn today. So, Senator Lynch, I think we could recommend.
Madam Chair, I would move that Senate File 1106 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance.
Do we refer to the Committee on Finance?
Or Health Finance.
So we refer it over to Health and Human Services. Oh, it does go up and down. Okay. Okay, Committee on Finance, full committee. Any other questions? Anyone else in the audience want to comment? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you very much, and thank you all for coming today.